those who are streaming with us this morning. And I ask that you would just enjoy the Sunday school lesson with us. We're going to be studying from Nehemiah chapter 2. But before we do, we'll take some prayer requests to the Lord here and ask the Lord to be with us as we study. Is there any prayer requests?
Yeah.
Amen. Lost loved ones. I have some loved ones that are traveling today, and so pray the Lord will be with them as they travel. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give honor and praise unto you this morning. We thank you for health and strength to be able to come to your house and to study your word together. We thank you for these that are gathered here in this sanctuary and for those who are watching by whatever device they use, and we just ask your blessings on them. Help us today as we consider your word, and may it be something, Lord, that just directs our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn with me, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah was interested in rebuilding an ugly city. It had one time been one of the most beautiful cities in the world, but it had fallen into decay while they were in captivity. And Jerusalem was dear to the Israelites. It was a special city, the city of David. And so Jerusalem was to be rebuilt. Nehemiah had that. He had a report that it was in bad condition, terrible condition. And so he had it in his heart to go back and rebuild it. And that's something about what our lesson's about today. Solomon had added a lot of buildings in the city, especially Solomon's temple and other buildings that he had built. He was a builder. And so Nehemiah had been away as a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. And his brother actually brought the news back to Nehemiah about the condition of the city. And so he decided that he was going to try to go back and rebuild the city, do the job that the Lord wanted him to do. It really troubled him. I think it would trouble most of us today if we lived in a particular place and it was a beautiful place and we were away from it for a while, and then we heard the news that it had been torn up by war and whatever else, and was in disrepair. We would want to try to help to get it back in shape too, wouldn't we? And so that's what Nehemiah was doing. Nehemiah talked to the Lord about this. The first part of business is talking to the Lord about the situation, and so He talked to the Lord about it, and he received mercy from the king, Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes granted his requests and whatever he needed to get the job done. So evidently, Nehemiah had served the king well, and the king had made good friends with Nehemiah. In fact, the king noticed that Nehemiah didn't act just exactly right. And so he began to ask him questions, and the king found out what his problem was. And so let's look at verse 11. We'll start there. 2:11 of Nehemiah. It says that Nehemiah said this: "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days." Now, the thing about it is that he had just come off of about a 3 months journey. I cannot imagine starting on a journey and finishing a journey of about 1,100 miles walking or riding on a donkey. I can't imagine that. But that's what had happened here with these people who had come from captivity with Nehemiah, and those that the king sent with him. And so these 3 days that he's talking about here kind of gave Nehemiah a little break from doing all of that traveling, traveling across all kinds of terrain. And I'm sure he was tired. If we ride in a car for a little while, at our age, we start getting tired about riding in the car, don't we? And so he'd been walking, and not only that, he had to oversee this journey. There's always seems to be problems when you're in a position of leadership and you have to oversee something. It's a little bit different than if you're just tagging along. You know, you don't have a care in the world and whatever else. I can imagine in this journey, the kids playing along with the people as they journeyed. You know, different families and kids getting together, probably throwing rocks, doing whatever kids do, you know, when they're walking along. They'd probably run ahead a little bit and can't let them get behind and catch up. And so here Nehemiah goes and surveys Jerusalem. He wants to see what the damage has been and make a plan. And let's look at verse 12. Nehemiah says, "So I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon." I can just see Nehemiah riding around the city on this donkey, a burro. And it says that he took a few select men with him. But he hadn't divulged to them or told them the whole story about what the Lord was asking him to do. So Nehemiah was aware of the fact that not everyone in the territory was on board with him doing what he's about to do to rebuild this city. Some of them, the people who had tore it down, are still living in the area. And we know that from the history of it. Only a few men went with him that were basically close friends with Nehemiah. And some of them probably, we don't know for sure, but probably were advisors that he had brought with him on the trip from Persia. And so they were going to counsel with Nehemiah. It's always good to have good counsel when you're about to do a job. Know what the Lord wants you to do, but let some people in on it and let them counsel you as to how this job should be done. Let's look at verse 13. It says, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down." You can see the condition here. "Which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." So Nehemiah got a good look at the condition of the city. He had a good look at it without having to be rushed. Remember, he had 3 days here that he could go out and take a look at the situation. The gate of the valley, we don't know for sure which one he's talking about. Probably. The lesson says on the southwestern side of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah notes that the repairs that were done on the gate itself were about 1,500 feet from the gates, about 1,500 feet out. He looked around the city to see the perimeter of the city, and so. There was repairs that were required there as well. And so Nehemiah surveyed the walls and the gates, and I'm sure when he saw the condition of them, it caused his heart to be discouraged compared to what it had been. He had heard, but now he sees. You know, it's one thing to hear a story of what's going on. It's another thing to come upon it and see it yourself. You know, you get your own vision of it. And so that's what was happening here with Nehemiah. And so he's out surveying the city with a few friends, and he comes upon this situation. Let's look at verse 14. Then it says, I went to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. In other words, the area was blocked from his being able to ride his burro, his donkey, through this area. This gate of the foundation was possibly situated on the southwestern wall of Jerusalem as well, the lesson says. The king's pool may have been part of the project that Hezekiah had done with building the aqueduct. That aqueduct, by the way, is still in operation today. There's still water in it, and you can go there and if you're on a trip to Jerusalem and see that. That's an amazing thing. They started on both ends of it, met in the middle, so to speak, and it was a perfect job. So to digging through that rock with whatever they had to dig with. You know, we have machinery and blasting and whatever. I don't know for sure all the things that they did it with, but most of it was done by hand, picks and shovels and whatever else. And so this rubble of the pool was blocking his way. It says in verse 15, then I went up by night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so I returned. The brook here is probably talking about Kidron, the brook Kidron, which is on the east of Jerusalem. Nehemiah retraced his path. In other words, he went around and then came back the same direction to the valley where he started. It says in verse 16, and the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor the priests, nor the nobles, nor the rulers, nor the rest of that did the work. You see, he had an idea of what he was going to be doing, but he hadn't shared all of that with those that were with him. This secrecy was not just because he didn't want to tell anybody, but it was so that he could get the job done. He wanted to get the job done. This was a planning situation. He wanted to be sure it was done as God directed him to do it. To have done it in any other way would not have been sufficient. He wanted to do it just like God wanted him to do it. And we should take counsel of the Lord in every situation in our lives as to how the Lord wants us to do whatever we're going to do. Sometimes I get in a hurry, you know. It's easy for Americans to get in a hurry. If you ever go to a third world country, you'll probably notice that most of them don't get in the kind of hurry that we do. They just are a little more laid back than we are. We want to rush things along. And I'm not against all of that, because sometimes you get things done well and you get it done in a hurry. But most of the time, if you get in too big a hurry, there will be things that you have to redo. I've had a lot of jobs in my life that if I would have took a little more time, I wouldn't have had to done it over. Maybe some of you have experienced that. You cut a board the wrong way, or you cut a piece of sheetrock in the wrong direction, and it doesn't fit in the spot that you're supposed to be putting it in or whatever. And so if you took a little more time, as someone said, measure twice and cut once, it would have probably been better. But nevertheless, he wanted to get the job done well and right. Nehemiah's first step toward rebuilding Jerusalem was the wall. Now, in our country today, we have a lot of discussion about a wall on our south border. You know, some want to build the wall, some want to tear the wall down, some want to rebuild back portions of the wall that have been destroyed. Others don't want any wall at all. So, you know, I don't know where you're at on that. I'm not here to discuss that. But nevertheless, walls are important. They were important in Jesus' day, and they're still important in our day. I'm sure that when Nehemiah saw this wall that he had seen so many years earlier in such disrepair, it discouraged him tremendously. But nevertheless, God had placed it in his heart to rebuild it, and so he was about to do that. He was accessing the knowledge that he needed and the areas that he needed to rebuild this wall. Verse 17 says, "Then I said," this is getting the leaders together now. This is the leader getting the leaders together. "Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." You see, if a group of people wanted protection in that day, they always built a wall around the city. That was one of the ways that they protected themselves. Now, that wasn't guaranteed protection, but it helped. Often it would build a big tower so that they could see a long ways, and they would have a watchman who would stay in this tower. So nothing is said here about how much time went on between Nehemiah's going around. Make an excursion around the city to see what needed to be done, and then his summoning the leaders together to explain to them what needed to be done. There was an important reason why we have strong walls, even in our own homes sometimes. We don't have at our home, but a lot of people build places for tornadoes. If you're going to have a tornado, they'll have a particular area in the home that you can go to, and that's supposed to be a protection place for you. Strong walls are important. And so that's where he was at. These walls had to be rebuilt as far as Nehemiah was concerned. He said that he had identified the problem, and he's concerned, and he's passing this concern on to the leaders that are with him as to what they needed to do. And so rebuilding the wall so that they could be protected from the enemies that came. In fact, in another place, it talked about Ezra, and I think Pastor preached a little bit about it here a while back. They had their sword in one hand and the building tools in the other. The wall was important to them. They wanted the protection of the wall, and they had to rebuild this thing out of the ruins that were there. I can just imagine in my mind stones scattered all over the place, and they have to get these stones back together. If you've ever seen some of the walls in that area, you know that moving some of these stones was not a simple task. It wasn't like picking up brick and placing it in the wall. Some of these stones are 15 feet by 30 feet and weighed tons. So, I mean, it wasn't an easy job to move these stones around. So this need of building the walls came to Nehemiah, and he shared that with those around him. Let's look at verse 18. This gives us a little bit of an idea about how God was directing this. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. Artaxerxes had told Nehemiah if he needed anything to let him know. And he gave him a lot of material and finances to do the job. And this was a big task. And so over the years, it seems that the exiles from these captivity in Babylon attempted to do all kinds of repairs that hadn't worked out very well. Some of them were, they just didn't get the job done. And so Nehemiah here was a man that was going to get the job done. Here that when he spoke of the hand of God, which was good upon him, he offered a reason for the hope that he had. If we know that God is working in our lives, it gives us a hope that we can get the job done. And if we read the scriptures, we'll know that God's hand is with us. We'll know that. And so that should be an encouragement to us. Nehemiah came to the Lord in with an attitude of prayer, asking sincerely to get the job done. He says the strong hand of the Lord was upon him. I think we find out that God's hand is strong. It's not talking about your hand, especially. Talking about what God can do in your life. God can direct your life. And the last part of 18 says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. That means they got things together so that they could do the job. If you've ever had a job to do, one of the main part of the job is getting the material ready, isn't it? Whatever you're going to use to do the repair or to do the building with. Getting that stuff together is a job sometimes. So the people caught the vision. They saw what Nehemiah was saying was something that they need to be a part of. And if you can get a group of people together to catch the vision that you have, you can do a lot of things in the kingdom of God. When I think of that, I think of whenever we build in a foreign land. If you can get the group of people in the community that you're working in involved with you in the building, it makes altogether difference because they feel like they're sharing in part of the work, part of the project, and so they will take care of it. Better, and they'll see that nobody is destroying anything around it if they're a part of it. But if you just go in there as an outsider and begin to do a particular job and don't involve the community, you're likely not to be too successful. You may have a good-looking building without anybody in it. That's the way it may happen. But nevertheless, these people got a real good vision of what Nehemiah wanted to do in this rebuilding project, and so they strengthened their hands to do it. They began to get things together. Well, anytime you have something good going, there's usually always somebody who's going to try to tear it apart. So let's see that here, and this is a good lesson for us because we shouldn't be blindsided by opposition. Because if you're going to do something good for the Lord, you can be sure that somewhere along the line there will be opposition. Verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you will do? Will you rebel against the king? Well, these men are laughing at what Nehemiah and his group are about to do. Now, he could have said, well, there's no use of us doing anything else here. We'll just pack up our stuff and go home. If you get discouraged easily in the work of the Lord, you need to get on your knees and get a new vision. Don't get discouraged in the work of the Lord, because there will always be those around him. These actually were heathen people. You know, we hear a lot about heathen people today, don't we? In fact, some people think we are. Some religions think we're heathen. Well, verse 20. Then I answered them. He's talking about answering Sanballat the Horonite and some of the others. I said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. In other words, we don't care what you're saying as far as opposition is concerned. The hand of the Lord is on us for good, so we're going to get up and do the job. We're going to build. There's no record of Nehemiah mentioning King Artaxerxes in his reply to these enemies at all. He could have said, hey, Artaxerxes sent me here, and if you guys don't leave me alone, I'm going to get Artaxerxes after you. No, he said it very plainly. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. You see, he had his faith in the right place, didn't he? He didn't have it in man. He had it in the God of heaven. We need to have our faith in the God of heaven as well. God guided Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was about to do the job. Nehemiah knew God was not going to abandon him, leave him stranded, so to speak, and so he put his trust in God. But he says in the middle of 20, you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You guys don't have any part of this. This is God's job, and he's given us the opportunity to come and do it. Portion really refers to God's promised land. This Jerusalem was part of God's promised land. And what Nehemiah is saying, you guys that are trying to discourage us don't have anything to do with this portion of land because it's given to us. You know, that's going on today over there. They're still arguing over the land. God gave it to his people, Israel, back in Abraham's day. Promised it to them. But they're still arguing about who the land belongs to and who different things there belong to, who owns different cities, who controls different cities and whatever. But what he's saying here is, this is what God has given us, and we're going to do what God has asked us to do. I want to say to us this morning, I believe that we need to determine in our heart that we're going to follow God no matter what happens around us. I'm not just talking about building a city here. I'm talking about building lives. We need to determine and purpose in our heart that we're going to do what God wants us to do no matter what the world says, because there will be opposition. There will be opposition. So any portion that Sanballat had in this situation didn't count as far as Nehemiah was concerned. And so often we ask for help. We ask for help from the wrong place. But when you ask for help from God, we can know for sure that he'll always be there to help us and to direct us. And so Nehemiah could have sung the song. Well, he's got the whole wall in his hands. You know, we sing it. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wall in his hands. I'm going to build the wall. And he did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson today. And we ask that you would help us to retain it in our memory so that whenever opposition comes to the things that God has told us to do, that we would remember that God will not forsake us. He'll not leave us. Always be with us. We pray your blessings on the remaining part of the services that happen here in this building and in the places where your name is preached today. Be with all of our friends in all the places in the world where you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?